Chris Roman of Sanctus Real. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, Rob. Thanks for inviting me on. This is awesome.
Yeah. Short notice and all, you made the trip to Nashville overnight?
Yeah, we got in last night. We got a full day of video shooting today and other odds and ends. But, dude, I'm an hour, like, you know, different than what I'm usually on. So coming from Eastern to Central, this was easy.
Oh, yeah. So. No. So my wife and I talk, we think it's easier going west than east. Like, when you go home, are you going to, like, that hour difference now of waking up, that hour difference?
Yeah, I'll feel it for sure, especially now. We're a little out of practice for all the traveling. We're not on the road right now, so any difference to the routine, you know, we feel it.
No, absolutely. So when you're on the road, or like, are you a, like, we're talking about coffee before we start recording, so I just got to ask again, like, what type of, like, keeps you going, like, as a coffee drinker and as a family, what keeps you going?
Oh man, both of those things. Coffee for sure.
Yeah,
it's almost like the joke. It's the running joke. We'll do at least probably two pots a day at home between my wife and I.
Okay.
And so even on the way down here last night, I got Mark with me, our drummer.
Okay.
And I was like, dude, is it okay if I stop at McDonald's and get some coffee?
where do you list McDonald's? Is like, is McDonald's like, I just need coffee?
I mean, you know, it's way faster than making a stop at Starbucks.
It is.
And honestly, because I just drink coffee black.
Okay.
Like, late in the day, McDonald's coffee, you can be in and out of there in like a minute. And it's fine. It's great.
Yeah.
So that's the secret on the road.
When it comes to coffee, coffee specifically, are you a specialty or do you like volume?
You know, like, we've tried it both ways because it's, you know, economical, you know, to buy a bigger bag of coffee.
Yeah.
But so right now we're actually, because we desire like good coffee.
Yeah.
So we're doing the subscription service where this really good roaster called Flatlands, they're in Bowling Green, Ohio.
Okay.
Just voted best roaster in Ohio by Food and Wine magazine.
Awesome.
And so they're sending us coffee every week, a small bag, fresh from the roaster.
What's it called again?
Flatlands.
I've looked that up.
Check it out, man. They do a subscription service. They actually are selling it locally up near us too in a grocery store. So
Okay. We're
a little spoiled right now.
All right. Well, when you come up, we get you out here to the Denver area. There's some places we can go check out, get your coffee aficionado on.
You guys have good coffee for sure.
They take it seriously out here. That's for sure. Like, you almost like, cause someone goes like, hey, what do you have in there? Just got some Dunkin' in here. They look at you like, that's it? Like, what?
Yeah. So it doesn't fly here.
What about other foods? Like, my wife and I joke about pizza. Like, I'd much rather go to Domino's and get three pizzas and just carb load. And she'd rather go get a really nice slice somewhere.
Well, I know because you and I both do the Peloton.
Right. Yes.
When you say carb load, I'm sure you're working all that off.
Absolutely.
So you have a plan, I'm sure.
Oh, well, like I got some pizzas on Friday. I was like, I'm going to go run for an hour on the tread on Saturday, so this will be great. And then I ripped up I have a bad shoulder, so all of a sudden, like, you know, as you get to, when you get at our age, you sleep on it wrong. I'm just like, I can't move.
Oh, yeah. Changes your plan.
And all of a sudden, I'm just walking gingerly on the treadmill instead of going for a run.
Yeah. No, we, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff with four kids, we're not super picky. But when we get to go out, like, on our own, we usually do try to, you know, hit up one of our favorite spots. And the question at that point is, because it's so few and far between when we get to go out, it's like, do we just order the same thing that we know we love, or do we try something new? So I'd say 9 times out of 10, we get what we know we love.
I don't think they're variable with kids, like, clearly.
Yeah, that's the whole trick. It's like, anymore, man, when we get somebody to watch all the kids, we go out maybe once every 2 months, maybe 3 months.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we got to choose wisely when we get that opportunity.
Absolutely. No, that makes a ton of sense. So you're down there in Nashville recording some new stuff. You said you're working on a music video today. What can you tell me about it without giving away, like, anything that's classified?
Yeah, man. So we're pumped because we have a brand new version of our current single. It's called Won't Let Me Go.
Okay.
And it's an acoustic version that we tracked last fall, I guess. And we have a guest vocalist on it. And it's this younger, up-and-coming country artist. Her name's Brenly Brown. Brenly Brown. You can look her up. Now, the thing, if there's anything I can give away without giving out too much, I'll tell you this. This is kind of funny. She isn't actually allowed to tell us all the stuff that she's up to. And I think she has a non-disclosure agreement with Disney right now.
Oh, is that...
So...
Okay.
I think she does projects out in California, but she's not allowed to say what they are. So she might be the new voice of like one of their big movies coming out soon.
Interesting.
And so it's going to be very interesting to see where her name pops up in the coming year or so. But super talented. We got to hear her sing at a writer's round last year. And we connected with her through a label friend of ours, because there's a bunch of Christian labels looking at signing her right now, but she's just doing it on her own and agreed to sing on the song with us. So we're going to do a music video for it in a recording studio today, and it'll be fun. It should be a good time.
Very cool. Excited to see how that all turns out. By the way, one thing I just want to say I like about what you guys and Sanctus over the years, and I'm not trying to dump on Christian music in general. It sounds like it's one of those, like when someone goes like, "Hey, it looks like you've lost weight." Wait, were you calling me fat before? Like, no, it's not. It's one of those type of compliments where it's like, one thing I like about your guys' song, like "Won't Let Me Go" and other songs, and "Rebel," I really enjoyed. There's just an honesty to it where you're like, it's not like, "Gee Willikers, Jesus came through again, Andy." It's
right.
It's there's that honesty, like, "Hey, yeah, there's something broken."
Right.
And we don't know what the answer is. I mean, we do, but it's not here yet.
Right.
And so I want to say I appreciate that. So thank you for working on that in your craft over the years.
Man, we've grown into it. I think all that kind of started years and years ago. The first song I felt like we were able to be really honest with was a song called "I'm Not Alright." And like you said, man, in our genre of Christian music, it is more the norm to hear those. You have a verse that's a little down, a little hopeless, and then everything turns around by the chorus, right? It's like it's very, very easy to fall into a cliche. And all these years later, as we've been continue to do this, it is a very serious talking point for us when we're in a room writing a song, that that we just are transparent, and we're honest, and that we don't shy away from talking about these things, that even if we don't have the answers, we know where our hope comes from. And it doesn't mean it's all going to flip by the chorus of the song. And, you know, there's certain times when that hits a little deeper. And I think you hit on it, like a song like "Rebel," even a song like "My God Is Still the Same." It's like just that honest declaration that things can be crazy, but God hasn't changed. And it's not, doesn't mean everything's roses.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to be able to sing at this point in our career that honest, and to have it be received by an industry that sometimes is kind of just trending towards those songs that are a little just really, really super, super happy-go-lucky.
Feel good,
but
yeah.
I think there's a place for that too. I think if it comes from an honest place,
absolutely,
I think that's great.
Yeah,
I think whatever comes from somebody's heart in this, like, I'm all into it.
Yeah, no, and that's why I don't want to make it sound like it's like you're dumping on a whole industry when you say, well, you're doing it a little bit differently and we like it. Doesn't make it's a tough compliment, I think, but I hope it sounds like you received it well, so I appreciate
it. I appreciate it. Yeah, man.
So, and then you've been doing this for now 20 plus years. Actually, 20 and change. We won't go into the
details.
We don't have to get the details out there. We don't have to...
it's a little while. That's all right. I like to leave it there.
It's been a while, So I can't imagine over the years, like, everything hasn't been always a smooth road for you guys. There's probably been a number of times to sort of go with opportunities outside the band. How many times have you been tempted to do something else and just go, hey, look, we've had a good run? You know, and maybe we'll do a reunion show in a few years or something, have fun, but here's an opportunity that opened for me that I should go do. Like, how many times have you been tempted with that, and what's kept you on the road?
Wow. I would say sometimes when things have been in seasons where it seems like things are easy, mm-hmm. I'm almost more tempted to give up in those seasons.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird, man. Like when we were faced with it, are we going to continue? Mm-hmm. When our previous singer, Matt, decided it was time for him to go and do other things. It was like in my mind, like I'm ready to go. Like this, I wasn't thinking of what else can I do. I still felt very passionate about the work that we had to do as a band. So, in those moments, I didn't think about giving up. And I think in the moments where things are smooth sailing, maybe it's like I get bored. I enjoy the challenge, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But there's been definitely times along the way where I've thought, well, maybe I could try this or do that. But it always comes back to I get so much joy from what we do and what we've been allowed to do as a band that I'm just grateful to still be here. And I catch myself in those moments where maybe I lose sight of that and start thinking, oh, maybe I don't really want to be on the road as much. But the honest truth is it's really worked out well career-wise. Like years ago, we used to have to be on the road all the time. And now we're playing maybe 50 shows a year, maybe, mm-hmm. Which is maybe a third or less than what we used to when we, you know, were really in the thick of it. So it's naturally gotten to a point where it's just way, way, way more manageable. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we're in a good place where I'm fully engaged and I love it. And I have opportunities to do other projects. Yeah. I do a lot of video work. I'm actually shooting some commercials right now for our old high school.
Oh, yeah?
Very cool. Yeah. So that stuff comes and goes, and I'm able to kind of integrate that. It's still a creative thing, and I love it. And then I still come over here and get to write songs and play shows.
Very cool. No, and so it's because you're probably one of the most creative people I know, so I appreciate that you still talk to me. So
come on, man. That's funny.
So because you do so many things, like, and that's, I'm curious, like, if my wife works in HR, so she always has like the, you know, those personality tests and like how they try to, you know, help people out with those. I'd be super cool. Curious because you also do a lot of the business stuff behind with the band too. So it's like that creative mind plus the analytical mind merging. And then you say you get bored with certain things when things are almost too easy, or at least it kind of makes sense knowing who you are as a person. You kind of go, I could see that. Like, it's like there's got to be a challenge out there. There's a creative hurdle you have to overcome.
Right. If there's not a problem to solve, then it gets boring.
Right. So it's in like, yeah, no, we can go down that rabbit hole. But like, so the other question I had with like over time, like the industry's changed a lot since you guys started. Where like, I just saw when you guys posted and like, was it the end of the year with your Spotify stats? They were pretty incredible.
Oh yeah.
And so,
but, man,
but then compared to that for like, we're before Spotify, like how did you guys metric your success?
Yeah, so that's a really good point, because even when we made the transition to having Dustin as our singer, I was just talking to my wife about this, about Spotify and how everything's changed and all the streaming, because I can't even remember now, that was 6 or 7 years ago, I guess, mm-hmm. how much I was paying attention to numbers on Spotify. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. So even in the last little bit here, since Dustin has been in the band, all that has dramatically changed. So before, it was all about radio and physical sales, physical album sales. And that was kind of like the marker, the indicator.
Yeah.
If you were reaching your audience.
Yeah.
And those were always hard things to crack. You needed a record label for that stuff in that day and age. When we signed our first record deal 20 years ago, there were no other ways to get in and to break into the music business on a national or even global level other than signing with a record label. So that was the route. But now there's so many ways with all these streaming services to be right up alongside those artists that are on labels, but as an independent artist. And it's really leveled the playing field to where we don't even have to tour as much as we used to because of the model of streaming, where you can make a decent living off of your actual music now for once, where it wasn't that way, because
That's
the way all the deals are structured. It's like you to be into the game, it's like you had to give up control of so many things to the labels.
Yeah, no, I'd be curious on that. Obviously, when people bought a CD, you don't know how many times, or a tape, or even a record, you don't know how many times they listened to it. I'd be curious now with the accessibility of music in the last 10 years, if people are listening to more music today than they ever did. Like, I see people, I never used to see people walking around the grocery store with the headphones on. I'm assuming they're listening to a song, maybe a book.
Yeah.
I'm like, I listen to more books than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I think, I remember when at the tail end of being on a label, there was some big summit that they had about this newfangled thing called Spotify. And all the label executives came away from that meeting saying, yeah, everything's going to change. It's just a matter of time for there to be enough people doing this model, and it's going to change everything. And at that point, I kind of vaguely remember thinking, like, I don't get it. Like, how is it really going to work? Because you're coming out of, you know, the time when everybody was kind of ripping music and stealing music. Yeah. Like, so the subscription model for all kinds of entertainment is just, that's where we're at. And it really does takes, once you get enough people on board, it changes everything. So pretty cool.
No, I have friends that work in sports media, and they've said years ago, like, you won't even recognize what like a hockey game will look like from what you used to watch. Cause like, advertisers don't want the 30-second spots anymore. They want they want like the, you know, the Sank
short.
They want the Sank Disreal replay moment. They want the they want to be attached to the in-game experience. They don't want to be up because people DVR and go through it now.
Yeah.
So it's like when you talk about that, like with Spotify and how you know the media is changing, it's, people are consuming, I think, more of it, as I'd have to guess, but also on their time frame, not just and more specifically what they want.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is with music. It's like you see these trends where a song will kind of catch, and it will just continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't, we've seen it to where it almost plateaus. It doesn't really fall, which is, I'm super grateful for that. Like, it's almost like once you have that audience and they have their playlist of songs they like, that's what they're listening to.
That makes sense for how I live my life.
It's cool.
My wife will. Have you ever heard of, okay, we're at the tail end of our time here, but have you heard of Nathaniel Ratcliffe and the Night Sweats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm more that person, like, I still have all the stuff from, like, when we graduated high school on my playlist. Like, I'll still listen to Nickelback while I'm working out, or Kid Rock. Like, I'm listening to that.
Yeah. The era doesn't matter to you.
It doesn't.
That's
like,
awesome.
And so,
I love that.
And, but, like, I'll still listen to, like, some of the new stuff. Like, I like Wilder Woods from Need to Breathe, his stuff. Or, like, you know, if someone shows me something nice and new, I'll be like, oh, okay. But right. I never heard of them before. Like, hey, we have the extra ticket. Do you want to go? Because my wife and her friends were big concert goers, and I was like,
"It's cool."
Like Nathaniel Ratcliffe. I go, "Wasn't he in Harry Potter?" Like, and he's doing an arena show here in Denver. Like, I don't know who this is. And we had great seats, but like, it was a great every song. They keep looking at me like, "Do you know this one?" I'm like, "No."
Yeah.
But now I've added.
They're all in.
Yeah, they're all in. But I've added now a few of his now when I'm on the Peloton. Yep. They're trying to chase you down.
Yeah. Dude, you need to check out. I'm pretty sure it's him. There was a documentary, well, a somewhat concert film that Mumford and Sons did years ago.
Oh, yeah. They're good friends with them, I know. Because the Mumford guy who did open for him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Well, I forget the name of it, but it's based on like them doing a really short tour out west on a train. And they have a few other bands with them.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm pretty sure he was with them before it was him and the Night Sweats. It was just him. I could be wrong, but go back and watch that documentary because that was before he blew up and he's kind of sharing his struggle of trying to make it. And now it's like, yeah, he's in an arena in Denver.
Yeah.
And you're like, who is this guy?
Well, yeah.
He's been around for a while.
Absolutely. No, very cool. So when can we expect you guys to be doing a show out here at Red Rocks? Can we get that start scheduled?
No kidding, man. That's one of the only spots I can honestly say in the States that we have yet to play that I really want to. We've had the opportunity to play a lot of cool places, but Red Rocks has eluded us. But hopefully soon.
All right, we'll I'll see. I'll make a few calls, see what I can do for you.
I don't doubt it, man. All right. I'd appreciate it.
Perfect, Chris. Thank you so much. Any parting thoughts here before we wrap this up?
No, I love that you're having these conversations. Hopefully, there's something that somebody can learn from this, and man, whatever your dreams are, don't give up on them. I'm in my 40s still doing music, and I never thought I would have ever made a career out of it. So keep pursuing those dreams.